The studio is properly inflated. Let's start with the business lunch hour. Are we all set?
We are all set.
David Hochberg is always inflated, and he is the president of Townstone Financial. And I guess business must be good because mortgage rates continue to be on the low side, don't they?
Yeah, rates took another dip about 2 weeks ago, and they've stayed low. So this is very important. I didn't think they were going to come back to these levels. And I don't think, and I always have that feeling every time we get this low, that you should jump on it. That's why I haven't seen my kids in like 2.5 weeks. I'm like, listen, I'm paying for, you know, braces and bat mitzvahs going on right now. And it's because you've got to strike while the iron's hot. And I haven't seen these rates. We haven't seen in the industry rates like this in 20 months.
Okay, when you mean strike while the iron's hot, if you are thinking of buying something or refinancing, do it now. Is that what you're saying?
Well, you know, buying is a whole nother different bag of tricks there, right? Because you got to have a job, you have a down payment. You know, refinancing is easier. But if you're looking to buy and you're on the fence, now's definitely a great time to buy if you're in the market to buy. I wouldn't wait till the end of the year. Market has already come back. The property values have already recovered. If you're looking to refinance, now is definitely the time to strike. You know, I'm putting people in jumbo loans, fixed rate jumbo loans in the threes.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that in a long time.
What about people who have ARMs that are based on whatever the interest rates are,
right,
and they're under three, and they have jumbo loans or they have regular loans? Should people like really commit to making their mortgage payment higher?
Depends on how much risk you want to take, because you could get into a jumbo loan right now in the twos and the threes. So if you're coming out of a five or a seven, you've paid your principal down by about 6-7%. And what you're doing is, even though it ticks up a little bit, you could pick up another 7-year money today in the low threes. So basically what you're doing is you're resetting it for another 30-year amortization at maybe a slightly higher rate, but it's a lower loan amount. So your payment's going to be practically the same, and you're picking up another 7 years at an extremely low rate instead of going into a fixed rate loan at a point or a half a point or three quarters of a point higher.
Let's talk about some experiences you've had, some conversations with WGN listeners this week. And since we're talking about mortgages, tell us about this this couple out in the suburbs who have missed a couple of mortgage payments.
Yep.
And
sad.
What their situation is and what the solution is.
Yeah, it's really sad. I talk to people that I can't help all the time, and everybody gets a call back and everybody gets a consultation. He's 65, she's 67, he's out of a job, she's got cut back on her income by about 80%. He's trying to find a job. They're stuck in a 5.75% loan in Oak Lawn on a $185,000 mortgage on a single family home that's worth about $185,000. Okay. And it's a tough box for these people to be in because they don't want to lose their home. And I was talking to the guy, and the guy's like, yeah, you know what? You know, I'll do whatever I can. I hear you on GN. I trust you. I'm like, okay, here's what you got to do. I can't refinance you. Number one, you just missed two mortgage payments. The time to call me is when you haven't missed the mortgage payment, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And again, I'm not making light of it. I'm just trying to help people. You know, if you know you have 14 cents in the bank and you're not going to make the payment, you got to call before it happens. Yeah. So at least we can help you ahead of time.
People want to avoid the problem.
Right.
It's tough to face it.
But the ostrich method's
right.
not
well,
working.
Of course.
How long does it take? Like if somebody's listening right now and
yep.
they know that things are tough, they're getting tougher, maybe they've lost
30
their job.
To 60 days to get a loan done.
30 to 60 days.
30 to 60 days to get a loan done. But here, you know, I just want to get back to these folks because they're not the only people out there in the similar situation, especially in the seniors. A lot of people get hammered, all right? So they're getting calls at all hours of the night by the lender. They're getting their door knocks and their doorbells ringing at all hours of the day by the lender trying to collect the money. They're getting stuff slipped underneath their door. So I said, call my guys at Debt Stoppers. Okay, they're like, well, I don't want to file bankruptcy. I'm like, okay, you know, then don't do anything and then get foreclosed on and then lose the house. So, you know, last time I looked, Donald Trump filed bankruptcy 4 times, his companies. Okay, when he flies into Chicago, he flies in on his own 757 with Trump on the tail. Okay,
yeah.
He's doing all right, and he's filed bankruptcy 4 times.
Okay, but that's Donald Trump, and
right?
Nobody has that kind of, you know, they don't own all that property. They don't have.
He
stuff
reorganized
like that.
His debt.
Okay,
that's all bankruptcy is reorganization.
Okay,
of debt.
So you reorganized your debt by filing for bankruptcy. That's better than missing 2 mortgage payments. Is
doing
what you're
nothing
saying?
or continuing to not make the mortgage payment and lose your house.
Okay, what about people that, like, for example, I have spoken to people who have said to me, you know what, I am going to stop losing, I'm going to stop making my mortgage payments
Genius
because
mode.
I'm
yeah.
underwater,
right.
and I hope that the government will somehow,
sure.
one of these programs will save me. What do you
sure.
say to those people?
I tell people to, I have people call me every month with that. President Obama says he's going to save my house. I said, well, call the White House and ask President Obama when he's going to save your house, and then stop off at Jewel or Mariano's and get some boxes. So when the sheriff comes, okay, when reality hits and the sheriff comes and knocks on your door and starts putting all your stuff on the front lawn, at least it's in a box, so when you go get the U-Haul, you can put it in the box.
Is this the way you talk to people, David?
Yes. Well, you find it shocking how long we've been doing this?
Okay, but for that to happen, that might take a couple of years.
It could take a couple of years,
so
right.
So then you're living for free. This is what I hear. Theoretically,
right?
You're living for free.
Right.
And then at the end of those 2 years, just file for bankruptcy and reorganize.
Or you could file for bankruptcy, reorganize, and do a short sale and move on with your life. Because the bank could come after you for the shortage of that if you don't protect yourself. That's why you have bankruptcy protection. Okay, I'm not a bankruptcy attorney. I'm not giving bankruptcy advice. I work with the guys at Debt Stoppers. If you want to give them a call, 312-447-8010 to get bankruptcy advice. Again, I'm not a bankruptcy attorney,
right.
But it's a piece of arsenal in your artillery that you have to use
exactly.
to protect yourself.
All right. The question just came in by text. Do you do Wisconsin
yes.
home loans?
I am licensed in Wisconsin, Illinois, Michigan, Indiana, and the great state of Florida.
David Hochberg,
wow.
we'll talk like this to people all over the Midwest.
Yes.
Before we go to a break, can you do this quickly, David? If you've got a college graduate
yeah.
around and they have zero credit, because you know if you're 2021, you
right.
probably do have zero credit, but you want a credit card, you want to get some credit. How do you do it?
Right. Well, either you're a college graduate that went crazy on spring break and loaded up on credit cards, or you don't have any credit at all. So here's what you do. If you don't have any credit, you have to take out a secured credit card. I work with the fine folks at First Midwest Bank. I have a personal banker by the name of Margie Holloway. Her number is 815-327-4825, 815-327-4825. You could open up a secured credit card. That's one option. You could become an authorized user on your parents' account. So if you have Tony and Sally and you want to put them on your card, give them a credit card, you're still responsible for the card. So that's another way. And the third way, and Margie could help you with this at First Midwest Bank, CD loans. If the kid's got terrible credit, just a complete disaster, you can put $1,000 in the bank, okay, and they will lend you $1,000. It shows up on your credit report as a trade line, as an installment loan. You pay it back at $100 a month, and then you get your credit revitalized. It's very simple. Margie's great.
Let's talk a little bit about credit card debt and how to get out of that
yeah.
pail of dirty water after we take care of a little business here. 1218. First up, thank you, Leslie.
I love this place.
No, not yet. No, not yet. I have to explain this first. All right, how are we doing this contest? We're giving away these $100 gift cards to Jameson's Chart House in Mount Prospect because it's the 25th anniversary of that steakhouse. Well, let's do this on the honor system. Do you know anybody who's been married at least 25 years, or have you been married 25 years? If so, a little later on when we play this...
I love this place.
We'll give you the phone number to call in, and the first two callers... will win $100 gift cards to Jameson's.
But they have to be married 25 years?
Yes.
Do they have to be married
yes. 25
years?
Yes. They have to be married 25 years.
All right.
What'd you say, Hochberg?
Do they have to be happily married 25 years?
No, we'll just accept 25 just, years.
You can make it to that point.
All
you're
right.
good.
We'll do that between 1:15 and 1:30. Okay? Is that how we're going to do it?
I don't know. That little rule of 25 years married, when did you come up with that?
Right now.
Okay.
So listen.
What if it's 24 years?
25 years, okay? And if you're listening and you hear that, if you hear this.
I love
yeah,
this place.
Yeah, right. Between 1:15 and 1:30, call. And if you're a caller one or caller two, you win the $100 gift card to Jameson's. And the number will be at that time, 312-981-7200. Back with the president of Townstone Financial, David Hochberg, and let's talk a little bit about credit card debt. You talked to a couple who have this problem and some others. Fill us in, David.
Yeah, it's a 50-year-old couple thinking about moving in a year, year and a half. They have a $280,000 mortgage, carrying $45,000 worth of credit card debt. And everybody, and whenever I go out, you know, and I tell them who they are, and like, oh, you're that David Hochberg. I'm like, yeah, I'm that David Hochberg. And they're like, you know, is it true that people have credit card debt? I'm like, I just pulled three credit reports this morning, $25,000 on one, $37,000 on another, $53,000 on the third.
Yeah, it's common, isn't it?
People are carrying between $25,000 and $40,000 with credit card debt. It's just the way it is. And this couple is no different. These guys make $200,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, living in a single family house. They want to buy another house in a year or two. And they got a $280,000 mortgage on a home that's worth like $400,000. So I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, you know, pay the credit cards off. They're like, well, you know, we were told that we need to carry credit card balances because it looks good on our credit report.
Well, not that much, though.
Not whoever told you that. You should, hopefully it's not a doctor and it's giving you life advice, because healthcare advice, because they don't know what they're talking about. It's always better to have zero credit card balance. Use it as a convenience. So what we did was, and this is very important for all your listeners out there, we saved this couple $3,100 a month. I didn't do the loan. I referred them again to Margie at First Midwest Bank. I've talked about this hundreds of times on the air.
You saved them $3,100 a month.
A month, okay?
Well, that's better than any investment they could have made.
And if they plan on selling it, and you know, they gain access to the liquidity of their home.
Right.
So take out a HELOC, home equity line of credit. They have great credit score, 720. And then the wife was down to 680, okay? Not bad. Right. But she's the one with the credit card debt.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, go get a HELOC in first lien position, home equity line of credit. Take out up to a 360, 70, whatever it is, 80% of the value of your home. Pay off your current mortgage with that and pay off all your credit card debt. Like, drop the payment, $3,100 a month. So not only do they save $3,100 a month, which they could take and put right back into the HELOC to pay the loan down, her credit scores are going to be up in a year and a half from now when she goes to sell the place and buy another place. And then the other thing that they did was, freeing up $36,000 a year, was they now have a down payment that they could save for to put down on their new home. The best part is, if they don't sell this house when they go to buy their new house in a year and a half, the $3,100 a month savings that we saved offsets the payment on the new house. So they don't have to sell their current house and sweat that out if they don't have to.
Okay,
So you're just doing money, you know, manipulation.
They were paying what, 18-20% on the credit cards?
20-25% on the credit cards. It's
okay,
4% minimums.
Let me run through a few
questions
that are coming up on text and quick answers, because we're running out of time.
Go.
I had foreclosure 5 years ago, bankruptcy I have an FHA loan now.
Yes.
When can I refinance?
Now, definitely. Here's the other thing. FHA just changed their mortgage insurance premium. We talked about it the last time I'm on. If you have an FHA loan above 4%, you need to call me immediately, 312-896-2111. We will take care of that lady and drop her into a loan. We do not need an appraisal if we're dropping your payment 5%. Is Credit Karma safe? I don't know much about Credit Karma, so I can't answer that question.
All right. 3 years ago. At my divorce, my ex was told to take me off the mortgage and HELOC.
Yep.
He claims he can't get refinanced. How do I get off these items?
Okay, there's a couple of reasons why he can't get off the mortgage. One, he doesn't make enough money. Two, there's not enough equity in the home. Or three, he's just a jackass and doesn't want to do it. Okay, so those are the three reasons. And I deal with a lot of this with vindictive ex-spouses. So if you want to call me at the office and talk to me about it, I'll be more than happy to check it out. 312-896-2111.
Is it smart to open another credit card like Discover to get a consistent credit score?
No. I mean, you know, if you're a credit score junkie that you need to know your credit score all the time.
Oops, I don't know what that is.
That's a busy signal. There we go.
About my mortgage. Finished an addition in the fall of 2007 and went underwater when the economy crashed.
Right.
I might just barely be above water now and want to refinance, but I'm getting a divorce. Rate is 6.5.
Yeah.
Do a refinance now with husband. Wait until after the divorce and do it on my own.
Okay.
We both make about
10,000 a month.
1,000K, yeah.
Okay.
And mortgage is 400,000.
Okay, so here's the deal with the divorce. Number one, talk with a realtor in your local area to get a value estimate of your home, because truly on Zillow, I wouldn't bet my life on it. Okay, so talk to a real estate professional about value. That's number one. Number two, if you are going through a divorce and we know about it, okay, you can't, if the lender knows about the divorce, we can't do the loan until we have a signed separation agreement of the marital assets and the marital income responsibility of if there's any kids, if there's any alimony, any child support, any type of support like that. It's just got to be signed.
Okay, David, I know we're out of time, but this I want to know too, and this question just came in. How long before my score goes up if I pay off the credit card debt?
30 days.
Thank you.
Ever read about these business fixers, the consultants who come in when a business is struggling? I've always wondered about these guys.
They fix the business. It's like a business doctor.
Yeah, exactly. And whether it's a big company or family-owned business, a lot of these folks are around. And one right in our area is with us today to talk about his job. Tom O'Mara, owner of O'Mara Partners Turnaround Management, joins us. Good to have you here at the radio station. And maybe we'll bring you upstairs to the offices, see if there's something you can fix up there. But we're in pretty good shape here.
Right, you sure are.
I think we are.
Is the economy now, the economy's getting a little bit better, not good enough, but as it gets better, how does that affect your job? Because one would think when things are at their worst, that's when you are busiest. Is that true?
Well, basically, we're solving problems. So the problems change and the opportunities change. And in difficult terms, at times, it may be a function of loan defaulting, cash-oriented. The challenges can be even bigger in positive times because you have to deal with what new markets do I go in? Can I handle change,
expansion.
All those take courage. All those take ability to handle fear, to step out of the comfortable spot. And I think one of the things that we do best is take our knowledge of how to run a business and reformat it into what new things can be done.
What kinds of businesses are we talking about? Are they businesses that manufacture things, that sell things, or what?
My focus is largely manufacturing and operational things. It wouldn't be in hotels. It would be in manufacturing, in building new companies and penetrating new markets. One of the clients right now is in what's called three-dimensional printing.
That's a big field now.
It's a big field in metals.
Mm-hmm.
The more sophisticated name is additive manufacturing. But those bring all the new problems of getting into a business, of creating the rationale for the business, communicating it, and all the functional aspects of putting together a business and a successful one.
For what reasons does a company get to the point where they need a fixer, and what exactly are you doing to fix them? Are you helping them with numbers or ideas or an emotional thing?
Well, the main causal effect is they're out of cash.
Right.
It's a cash-oriented thing. So you fix the cash first off. You help them plan it. You get it communicated with whoever's lending them the cash, the bank, and you focus them in on day-to-day operational control. And when you get that stabilized and settled, then you're open to move in to new products, new markets, all which are, again, new risks of going down the problem of life.
Right.
When you're called into a business that's underperforming, how do you first get the lay of the land? Do you like to talk to the big boss first?
Well,
employees?
Right.
What do you do?
Generally, I start with the senior executive. It's the chairman or the president who has to deal with the problem of how he finances the business. And we get our hand around the numbers as quickly as possible by looking at its data, starting with cash flows, typically out 13 weeks. And we use that as a stabilizing influence to say, here's the reality.
I read a quote from Jack Welch, former head of GE, that you mentioned. Welch once said that the most common sensation when he visited a plant was the smell of fresh paint. The boss has to get under the surface to see and attack the real problems. And you said we help our clients get past the facade and at the real issues.
Right. Face the reality. And what Welch meant by that is fresh paint because everybody's painted up the place to look good because the chairman's coming through.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Everybody's on good behavior.
Right.
The place has never been cleaner.
And probably half the time the chairman wouldn't be there if everything was fine.
Yeah, that's right.
And now you are, your goal is to get fast results.
Right.
How does don't companies usually call for help or people in general when it's almost too late?
Well, if they're borrowing money from a bank, the bank helps them realize that earlier.
So they won't lend them the money.
Right. There becomes some causal event that says, look, we got to face reality here. I've been doing this in large corporations and for the last 25 years in consulting. And we just focus quickly on what is the reality. And the measure of reality quickest is cash flow. But then it's the emotions. Many times the entrepreneur doesn't want to face up to the fact that he's in a what I call a whitewater canyon.
And how do you deal with those emotions?
We get in the raft with him. He has to go down the canyon. He doesn't have much choice.
Do you think of yourself as a coach?
No. I sometimes take charge of the oars.
Okay, good way to put it.
A coach is a little soft because he's in trouble. I've been down that canyon many, many times. You know, it has steep walls. There are no sides to it. He can't get out of the stream. He's in that kayak. I say, hey, look at, you know, we got the right-handed guy on the wrong side of the raft. That comment around the rock up ahead is not good. It's bad.
You said you like to touch base first with the big boss. Now, if you hire me to be part of your company, Turnaround Management, first of all, that'd be a terrible mistake, Tom. But if you did and you sent me in,
these offices look pretty nice.
You sent me into some company to find out what the trouble was and how to fix it. I would want to talk to the rank and file employees. I would want to talk to the folks in the mailroom and the people maybe who've been there a while, but are low level, if you will, employees.
Well, you have to sense the what's going on in the organization.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we get there, generally there's a lot of fear, there's a lot of concern. So you have to be very careful how you leave the top level, because it's both threatening to the senior entrepreneur, and it's also, you can't make promises down inside the employee structure if you don't know the facts to do yet. So you gather information, you gather it in a wide variety of ways, sensing it. You know a lot just by looking at the organization. You get a lot of clues in terms of how the physical layout of the place is. You go through the factory, you can see a lot of things when you've been doing this for a long time. You see a lot of things intuitively. So it's important, but it's not a mission to find the truth. It's a mission to help reinstill passion and courage and ability to get the job done in the organization.
And after you leave, how do you know all of that is going to continue?
Well, if you've done your job, it'll continue.
You'll convince
him. And if not, they'll call him back.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
right?
Yeah. But generally, it's a long-term relationship. You know,
It must take a lot for, just like with people needing help. I mean, I so many people probably could use, for example, going to a therapist, but they don't until there's a crisis. I mean, you probably have to deal with a lot of companies that are in crisis mode.
Yes.
By the time they call you, right?
Yes, but you start stabilizing the financial side, the cash side, and then you start, the slowest ship to turn around is marketing.
Mm-hmm.
You can do some things on product, but not a lot. The marketing is a very complex thing, and it takes time to build up the relationships, get credibility back in the marketplaces, a whole variety of things. So it's not quick, but it's stable, and it most of the time it works out, but not all the time.
Has social media changed a lot of what these companies have to end up doing in terms of marketing, or has that not played a big part in what you do?
Well, social media is changing a lot of things, starting with websites. You know, their migrations from the computer into how websites are set up. One client right now is going through having to adapt his websites. It's a mail place that sells by mail into mobile formats.
Mm-hmm.
On social. Something like 40% of the sales now are going through purchases on social media. as opposed to laptops.
When you are at work with these folks, is everybody frightened of you? Are the employees, do they know who you are? They know what you're doing?
Sometimes, most of the time.
You let them know?
My ego isn't the important thing. The important thing is getting the job done.
Well, a lot of times, I mean, you're probably looked as the guy who is going to propose cuts,
that,
right?
That happens. It happens less in today's environment as it did than it did 3 or 4 years ago.
That's only when Tom walks around with a black hood.
But there are ways to handle that. As long as it's fair, as long as they understand the cuts that have to happen, they understand the timing, rationale that you're going to do simple things like follow seniority, communicate ahead of time what has to happen, lay out a plan, and people generally get confidence in knowing that the organization is facing reality much more than they would get confidence by, you know, somebody's going to do something horrible to them. Everybody knows in a problem. Everybody knows. Are you being fair?
It's a fascinating area, being a fixer, and he is Tom O'Mara, owner of O'Mara Partners Turnaround Management. Appreciate the insight into what you do, Tom. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thursdays are always fun because you can look forward to the weekend, and we do here with our friend Jason Lesnevich from Choose Chicago, the tourism folks of the city. And looking at the schedule, it appears as though there are some interesting things to do kind of winding up in the next week or so.
Definitely. A couple of performances and then a shopping event for you this week.
Now, shopping, Marianne.
I'm ready.
Yeah, you're always ready.
I don't know if I'm ready. I'm not ready.
Yeah, I don't know if you want to talk about that, but no, go ahead, Jason.
The Randolph Street Market is starting their 2015 schedule this weekend. It's over at Plumbers Hall, 1340 West Washington. Features about 100 vendors in vintage, antique, indie designers, and fancy food on 3 levels of the building. There's free parking, and the hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. both days.
That's Saturday and Sunday?
It is correct, yes. So, 24th and 25th.
You don't have to buy tickets in advance for that, right?
You know, you can buy them at the door, $10. You can get a slight discount for $8 if you do buy them in advance online.
Randolph Street Market actually sounds like fun.
I've never been to that.
Yeah, they're calling it a Valentine's Day holiday market. So if you're looking for something special for your Valentine in the coming weeks, it's a great place to do that.
And if you've been putting off seeing Buddy Guy at his annual January appearance at his Legends Club, don't put it off much longer.
Yeah, he's headlining Thursday through Sunday over there in the South Loop. It's really a chance to see the legendary guitarist at his best. You know, Buddy Guy influenced a lot of people that are well known, like Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, and Jimmy Page. And he's often called the bridge between blues music and rock and roll. And it's really a treat to see him live.
He is fantastic. We've seen his show, and he never disappoints.
No.
And he still does like 2 hours. And I don't know if he still does this, but does he still go outside in the middle of his set?
He used to.
He goes outside there on the street.
Yeah, and he's got like a train of people following him, pulling onto the cords.
Right at Buddy Guy's Legends. At the Bank of America Theater, you can see Stomp.
Yeah, if you've never seen Stomp, it's a unique entertainment experience where 8 innovative performers create rhythms and music from everyday objects. And they're starting their North America tour right here only this weekend. It ends on Sunday.
And finally, Disney on Ice presents Frozen, and this will be a big one at the Allstate Arena.
Yeah, if you have kids or grandkids, this is a can't-miss event over at the Allstate Arena. I'm sure your children will sing along to their favorite songs from the movie.
And let's see, the date on that is the 26th?
Yeah, Monday the 26th is the last day. It started yesterday. There are 3 performances, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, so it really gives you a great schedule of performances there.
More on that and all of the things to do around Chicago now and later, available online at the Choose Chicago website. What's that address again, Jason?
That is choosechicago.com.
Great.
Thanks, Jason.
Thank you.
Next week. I've been thinking about a new idea for a radio format. that would really appeal to disc jockeys such as myself. And it would be nothing but the intros to songs, you know, these little snippets of music. We play a lot of them here as we come back from breaks. And it would just be one after another. Some would be about 10 seconds, maybe 30 seconds. And then when the vocal starts, we'd go to the next one. Wouldn't it be perfect for the short attention span generation?
Sure. But I get to pick some of the music.
Well, you get your own radio station.
Oh, is this one yours?
Well, I'm not saying we'll do it here. I don't know if we should change the format. Things are going well here, so. But it would be. I think I'd call the format DJ Radio, Disc Jockey Radio. Although, I realize now, Disc Jockey DJ means something completely different today compared to what
yes.
it used to mean years ago.
Oh yeah.
If I
DJs
tell people I used
hired.
To be a DJ, they say, "Well, what club did you work at?"
Yeah, or which, bar mitzvahs did you do?
Exactly.
That would be good. I want to talk about bait click. Is that what it's called? Bait click.
Bait click. That's what the kids are calling it when you see a video or something online, and or perhaps a headline that makes you wonder about the story, and then you click. You click.
Right.
And the whole idea is there's an advertiser who wants you to click. Is that right?
Exactly. But these, because people are not watching ads anymore, it's just amazing to me. So last night, typical night, and everything that we do on the show, not everything, but a lot of things that we do on the show, we talk to the kids about later when we get home. And we were talking about this video that I was going to post today that I thought was so touching, and we'll put it on our Facebook page because that will be the bait click of the day.
Facebook.com/Sarada and Murciano.
Yeah, and it's a picture that went viral. It went viral on Instagram last year, and it was these two guys, a gay couple in Atlanta, who were just shooting a little picture of themselves doing what they do every day, which was getting their three daughters ready for school. And they're working on their hair and all this. And that picture went viral. And then after it went viral, somehow a video was made. And I'm not sure who paid for it, but probably Nikon, because they end up using a Nikon camera. I'm not sure. But then there's that. Anyway, I'm sure that so many people have made money off of this video. And for people like you and me, Bob, we're going home and telling our kids, hey, watch this really inspirational video. And our kids who are, you know, in their 20s are saying, don't you know what this is?
Bait click. But so what?
But so what? Yeah, I guess it's so what. And this is how people spend a lot of time on Facebook or on social media, whatever it is, watching these things, and some might say wasting time, but they are truly inspirational things.
Okay. And by the way, we're getting calls and texts from 10-year-olds. It's clickbait.
Oh, clickbait, not bait click. See?
Yeah.
We don't know. Clickbait.
That would be a great name for a band, actually. If I was starting a group today, I'd call it clickbait or bait click, for that matter.
Do you remember
very cool.
that last night the kids were saying, it's clickbait, and I kept saying, let me write that down, because I didn't know if I would remember. It's clickbait. Okay, it's not bait click.
I'm still thinking about what you said, Marianne, today when you went outside, and this sums up a lot of the problems we have during the winter in the house with our heating, and also outside the house with you complaining and wanting me to drive you everywhere.
I'm not
Marianne described the weather out today as, go ahead, what did you say?
What is, I think
you
I said it's brutally cold.
Brutally cold. Now, maybe you should be.
When I was walking from the front door of our house to the car, it was so
cold. Yeah, brutally cold.
Cold.
I think it was 37, with the wind chill 36.
But
brutally
it wasn't,
cold.
You know how far away that is from 80?
Marianne, even though Chicago's official high was only 33 yesterday, it still marked the seventh straight day with above normal temperatures, according to Tom Skilling. with the westerly upper air wind pattern becoming more southwesterly. Milder temperatures are ahead. Friday's forecast high of 43 would be the highest so far this year, and Saturday looks to approach the 40-degree mark. Who predicted the winter would be mild when all is said and done?
Well,
me.
This weekend will be mild.
You should be a weatherman. I've been talking about taking over TV weather duties and doing it in a different way. You should do it, Marianne, because what your shtick would be, you would exaggerate the hell out of everything. Like on a day like this, you'd come on in a big Eskimo coat and say, it is brutally cold out there. And then in the summertime, when it's like 68, 69, 70 degrees, you'd be in a bathing suit and you'd say, I can't stand the heat today. And I think people after a while would start calling other people saying, hey, did you see Marianne on the weather on channel whatever it is? I think there's something wrong with her. And then this would build
there
an audience,
be
and you'd be a big you'd
if
be
I
a
was
big hit.
Doing the weather in a bathing suit. Yeah, there would be something very tragically wrong with me.
Sad news today, and I knew this guy, played softball with him a little bit, and he was one of the great 16-inch softball players around here, a Hall of Famer. And I'm talking about the real Amateur Softball Association, a Hall of Fame. I think it's based in Oklahoma City. You know, I'm in the media wing of the Chicago 16-inch Softball Hall of Fame, and all that means is that I have promoted the game. It doesn't mean I'm a great player. This guy, who passed away this week at the age of 85 at his home in Frankfurt from complications of Alzheimer's, Eddie Zolna, was one of the greats. And this guy had more.
Did you
know him? Yes, I did. He had more tricks pitching. The guy was fantastic. He won 12 ASA national titles between 1964 and 1980 with the Bobcat teams. He played and directed teams to more wins and tournament victories in the history of the sport, including several world championships. He grew up at 51st in Washtenaw, the son of Slavic barkeeper parents who ran Zolna's Tavern. Grew up in a family of five. He worked as a Chicago police officer for a while, about 10 years, and then he had a detective agency, eventually opened up his own insurance agency. He never stopped playing, or at least coming out to some of these charity games or celebrity games. And he was married, I think, for like 62 years, and he didn't wear a wedding ring, though, because one time a player slid into a base and wrecked his ring finger. He got spiked, so he couldn't even wear the ring anymore. And listen to this. There's something we had in common. Eddie Zolna met his future wife in 1951 as she watched her brothers play ball at 48th and Aberdeen. That's not the part that we have in common because you don't watch me play anymore.
I used to when we were dating.
He hid an engagement ring in a bowl of popcorn. But when she said she didn't want any, he took her hand and guided it to the ring. Now, I didn't put it in a bowl, but I put your ring in a popcorn box at the movies, right?
Yes. We were watching what movie? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was the Hugh Grant movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one.
Mm-hmm. What was the name of it?
Notting Hill.
Yeah, that's it. And as the one time you decided you didn't want to eat the popcorn.
Well,
one
I
time
ate
in your
it,
life.
But you really hid the ring very deep down at the bottom.
Eddie Zolna was known for putting together teams with powerhouse players nobody had heard of. And his daughter Jane said they would say his roster was the Chicago phone book. I've played with guys like that. They get the best ringers. Eddie Zolna, one of the greats, Maureen O'Donnell writing about him in the Sun-Times today, funeral service and burial private, our condolences and best wishes to the family and all his many friends. And of course, when he is buried, a Chicago 16-inch softball will be tucked in beside him. Yeah, you heard it, and he didn't say it just because he's a company man. If you were listening earlier, you know what that's all about. Well, we take care of that. Some other business to go over.
Do you know, you're going to be surprised by this new study, Bob, which says that using Facebook and Twitter a lot can actually decrease stress if you're a woman. Can you believe that?
By wasting time?
No. Well, you know that it's been common knowledge that it makes us unhappy. especially when we're inundated with these, you know, social media posts. And a lot of people had that as a New Year's resolution to unplug more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now there's news that social media can actually lower stress levels for women. And that's the takeaway after this study by the Pew Research Center's Internet and American Life Project. And some of the things that stand out in this is that social media provides supportive exchange. In other words, people feel less stressed because they can stay in contact with friends and family and feel that community support. And
this is going to be your excuse now for being on Facebook all the time?
I don't need an excuse. Women are more likely to be active sharers than men, and posting a quick photo on Instagram or updating on Facebook is a low-cost, easy way to do that. Whether you share positive or negative events, sharing results have lowered levels of stress.
Well, I guess it's kind of calming to sit there and while away the hours.
Why are you so negative about this? I mean, that's not what the study says. The study says did not say while away the hours on your computer.
Oh, but it's saying if you do, it's good for you.
No, but it says that if you post a picture, you know, you share your life, whether it's in person or whether you do it online, it lowers stress for women.
And men?
I need to be connected. You're more typical of a guy.
Why aren't men in this study?
Because men don't share as much usually.
Right, because they know us. The people at Pew Research know us. We don't care if we're connected. We don't get connected, and we can live without it.
And also, well, for
and
women...
And we have shorter... We're more in a hurry. We're not as patient.
For women, women don't like to miss out more than men. Men don't have that quality as much as women do. You know, the fear of missing out.
Unless it's a game. Well, we don't want to miss out on a game. Susie from Glenview, you are caller number one, Susie.
Hi, I'm calling about my brother and sister-in-law. They've been married for 50 years.
All right, you qualify. If you were listening earlier today, we said when you heard Orion say, can we play it again? When you hear Orion say this, we give away $100 gift cards to Jameson's Chart House in Mount Prospect in celebration of their 25th.
I love this place.
In celebration of their 25th anniversary. And you heard it, and you called, and you were caller one, and you you also have someone who has been married at least 25 years, so you're going to get the gift card to give to them, I guess, huh, Susie?
Yes, I definitely. They're a fabulous couple. I'm very close to them. They do everything for the family. They're amazing.
Yeah.
And
good.
I'd like to give it to them.
That's great. Well, they'll like Jameson's, named the Daily Herald's Reader's Choice Best Steakhouse in Chicagoland, and obviously Orion's favorite place for a Black Angus ribeye. You can go to jamesonscharhouse.com to reserve a table for dinner today. That's Jameson's Char House. Hold on, and we'll get all the information we need. Thanks for listening, Susie.
Thank you.
Thank you. I love your show.
Well, we love you. And let's see. We said we were going to take the first two calls on this today. So, Nora, you got in. You're caller two from Rolling Meadows. Way to go.
Oh, thank you so much, Bob.
Do you
I do love your show.
We love you.
25
years for you or someone else?
Actually, for myself and my husband, yes.
Great. You'll enjoy a great dinner for two there at Jameson's in Mount Prospect. And by the way, we'll do this again tomorrow. And maybe what we should do tomorrow is open it up also to people who have been working at the same place for 25 years. How's that?
That's a
you want to do
idea.
That? Wait a minute. Hold on, Nora. Marianne just gave me the look that my 14-year-old gives me when she thinks I'm stupid, which is every day, every moment. Why, Marianne? You don't want to expand the rules of the contest?
Yeah, I just think that 25 years in one place, that's a long time.
Well, yeah, and that's when they would deserve the prize. That's what I'm saying.
I love this place.
Yes, I know. All right. Nora, thank you for listening. What do you do there in Rolling Meadows?
Pardon me?
What do you do? Are you at work?
Yes, I'm at work right now, actually. I'm a dog walker.
No kidding. You know, that's a big business. My friend Danny Coble did this for many, many years, and this comes in really handy, not just vacation time, but all year, right?
How do you feel about brutally cold days?
Oh, they're tough to take. They really are, but the nice days make up for it.
Oh, what's the best part of the job, Nora?
Oh, the people and the dogs. The dogs and their owners, I just love them.
Yeah, I thought you were going to say the fact that I don't have to deal with people too much. I'm just with the animals. and what's the part of the job you could do without?
The 0-degree days.
Yeah, there you go. But you don't mind picking up after Fido, huh?
No, not at all. Not at all.
All right. Keep our city clean. All right. Thank you, Nora. And
thank you.
Appreciate you listening. Hold on. We'll get all the information we need. You know, when you hear the Super Bowl shuffle, someone from the 85 Super Bowl Bears is in the house. And that is the case this afternoon. We're with Walter Jacobson, and unlike other shows, our guests bring their own guests. And Walter, who is a big Bears fan, has been for many years, ran into Richard Dent, a stalwart of the Super Bowl Bears of 85 recently, and said, come on in. And here's Richard, and here's Walter Jacobson. And all I can say is, Richard, you're a lot bigger than Walter.
Yeah, I don't know. I see Walter in the gym quite a bit, and we always say hi for the last few years. It seems like you have more time in the gym now.
Yeah, a little more.
Is Walter doing enough at the gym?
I don't know. He just seems to walk in circles a lot. I don't know if he's doing anything.
He's just socializing.
But yeah, he's definitely socializing quite a bit.
Is that true, Walter?
I'm looking up at you at 6'5 and 300 what now?
I hope I'm not 3 anymore. Well, actually, I've never been 3, but you know. I can appreciate you looking at me and assuming that, but I'm trying to keep the weight down. But you know, it's a pleasure coming out and chatting. You know, I've been a fan of your service in the TV business for quite some time, and when I first came here, so you know, I've been watching you for quite a bit, and just fortunately, you know, we had opportunity to come here and speak, which you know, I'm gladly to, because you know.
There's a lot to talk about.
Chicago, yeah. It's a great city. It's been great to me, and the people have been great. So I'm here.
Walter, what do you want to talk to Richard about first?
Don't you think we ought to talk about the cheating?
Yes.
If you're not cheating, you're not winning, huh?
Is that what you tell the kids? Belichick said today or late yesterday, he knows nothing about anything. The NFL, of course, investigating whether the New England Patriots used deflated footballs in their win over the Indianapolis Colts. I mentioned this earlier, playing touch football. Here's what I remember about a football that wasn't properly inflated. I couldn't throw it very far. So I don't understand, but I guess the thinking is it's easier to catch. Is that it, Richard?
Well, it's easier to do both.
It really is easier to throw?
In wet weather.
In wet weather. Okay.
In wet weather, yeah. Meaning that the ball is not as slippery. So anytime and as a quarterback, you know, some quarterbacks got different hand pressure. Some people got bigger hands that want a harder ball. And the guys who got smaller hands probably want a softer, you know, ball. So, you know, you can't make the ball smaller, but the fact that when the ball gives a little bit in throwing, you know, you're able to hold on to it. And actually, I would say in the cold weather too, but it wasn't really cold for the game. So generally you're going to lose some pressure if you was playing in, you know, 8 below or something mm-hmm. of that nature. You're going to lose some pressure of the ball. But to do it, from my understanding, they say out of 12 balls, 11 balls were screwed up on the mm-hmm. Patriots side. You know, that's somebody did something wrong there. You know, obviously, you know, Belichick been down this road once before, you know, but I think if I can look over there and watch your signals, then I think I got it right. There's nothing wrong with looking and seeing what they're trying to do. If I know it, then I know it. To me, I need to learn the coach and I learn the players. So I'll know the pattern that what they do when you're doing the history and when you're trying to prepare for someone. So you're not out there just playing Sega ball. You have a good idea of what's going to happen.
I didn't know that. I didn't know that the offense used its own balls. So when you have the ball, then you get to choose which ball to use.
Well, everybody, kickers have their ball too, so they have a ball to kick with as well. And you have to scrub these balls down because they got this shellacking on it, and it takes a while. So, you know.
So both teams don't use the same ball?
No. Well, both teams brings balls, from my understanding. Both teams bring 12 or 15 balls on each side. So someone is moving the balls in and out.
Okay, so.
And the kickers have their balls.
Okay, so. As
it's
a player,
balls all over the place.
Yeah. Maybe. So as a player, you're handling a ball during a game. Do you know this one is not inflated as much because it's easier for me to grasp it?
Like, I don't know because my thing is, you know, getting the ball out of your hand. So I don't know the pressure and all of those things. I know that they have a guy on the sidelines on both sidelines that have all the balls and they move the balls in and out depending on what guys do with the ball. Guys sometimes throw them up in the stands. They spike them. You know, so the next ball got to get there real quickly.
And they're all together in one place?
Well,
like, it's not like...
They're in a couple places along the field, you know. So with that, you don't know where they're coming from. But the fact that you have to move the balls in and out. And when balls are wet, you know, it's a guy where they're trying to keep it dry.
But the rules are the rules, and it appears that the Patriots broke the rules. If 11 out of 12 balls were below the standard in air, then they did something wrong. So the question is, what should happen to them? Do you think they ought to be taken out of the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think they're going to do that because, you know, it's a monumental spot here. I think they're probably going to do what they did before, maybe take a draft pick away. Again, like I say, these guys been down this road once before. But to me, you know, I think Belichick took it to another level when I'm recording you more so than having a guy watching you. They said it was record or somebody was watching him, whatever it may be.
That was before.
That's a little bit overstepping recording you. But if I can know and watch, have somebody watch you, scout you, that's what players, you know, that's what teams do.
That's fair.
Everybody scouts you. That's fair.
You recall in your day, Richard Dent, Mike Ditka engaging in any deflated ball shenanigans?
No, Mike was just, you know, his mouth was doing all the shenanigans. So, you know, Mike was creating storms, you know, with his attitude and personality.
He was deflating the players.
Well, deflating the other team.
But we would have
to go out there and, you know, and close that door. So sometimes that wasn't cool, but, you know, you're going into place and your coach done got them all riled up, and now you got to shut them down.
The coach is on your case right now for the things you've been saying about the drugs in the locker room.
Let's talk about that for people. Well, let me just fill people in. A good story in the Trib yesterday, Fred Mitchell writing, not all members of the 85 Bears corroborate the tales of widespread abuse of painkillers and other drugs as chronicled in Real Sports on HBO. What do you say to that, Richard?
Well, you know,
Fencick came out and said, I knew it happened. I just don't know whether or not it was abusive.
Well, what's abusive? Abusive is, you know, a player cannot find the drugs, cannot use things of such a drug. So it's no player that ever played this league can tell me that a team did not provide some type of drugs to them. To me, yeah, my coach would say, you know, if you're not hurt, then you're running from people. Hmm. You know, so, you know, you hell when you're healthy, what are you when you're hurt?
Is it true that there were literally bowls of amphetamines and Percocet and other things in the locker room?
I don't know if it was amphetamines or what, but I knew when I came in, I didn't know that many guys smoke in the locker room in my first couple, 2-3 years in the league. I'm like, oh, they smoking, pointing, as well as things were sitting in that bowl. I didn't know what they were, my point. I'd never been down that road before. So, but once I got hurt my rookie year, I tore a hamstring and I blew out an ankle, and, you know, so we had so much swelling, so much inflammation, and I can recall them giving me Tylenol 3s, and at that time I realized that I couldn't use codeine, so my stomach was not taking that well. The next thing you know, I'm on Percodans, and now I feel like I can run through a wall. But the point of it is, you know, is no player out there can tell you that they did not provide something for you to get to the next level or to get to the next step. The point of it is that no one has given you any data on what you've taken. So now the career is over And now I'm going looking at disability and information, and now, you know, this is stuff should be in your paperwork. And now you see there's nothing in the paperwork to talk about the drugs that you was taking, and no one never gave you any consent. Now, the point of it is every guy that made a statement, ask those guys, did any of those teams or the Bears or whoever gave them a consent on what they was taking?
As a result of this stuff.
This is the key moment here. Yeah, everybody knew what was taking place, but yet that I think the league or the team, someone holds a responsibility to making a player know exactly when is enough. What's enough? I don't know enough. I'm 22, 23. You know, you passing something to me, I'm assuming that, you know, you have my best interest.
Mm-hmm. You said.
Especially if you work for the team.
Right. You work for the team. So, I mean, the team said this. Oh, well, shit, the team, mm-hmm. you know, I assume they know what's good for me. But the point of it is, you know, and I can recall my last year of college, I broke my radius here. This spot here, you guys can't see it on the radio, but you see that stitch there, okay?
Yeah. I got one of those too from softball. Right. Yeah, my arm. Yeah.
Right. So they put a plate on it in college.
Mm-hmm.
And after my last game as a pro, my first year, that's when the Bears came and gave me a consent. Hey, Richard, we think we need to take that out. And I say, why? What's the problem?
They need to take the plate out?
They need to take the plate out because the fact that it's a million to one that you break that bone.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's a plate on it with screws in it, they said, well, you know, you won't break it in the same spot. But if it breaks, it could shatter.
Right.
And if it shatters, then you lose that movement.
Right.
So that's a consent to what's taking place and what we should do on your behalf.
Now you're saying, or you have said, that you're fearful of dementia.
Well, yes.
Are you having signs of dementia?
Well, I don't know. I'm planning to do more in-depth discovery in that space. That someone that has technology that's going to help players to know if they have CTE or what. It's something that I would like to know than having something slip up on me.
What are you suffering from? Can you say?
Well, I'm not going to say. I'm not going to say. But the point of it is, you know, I have a business and I'm trying to run my business. And the fact that I think the game of sports has taken away my ability to be the best that I can be in business, outside of football. Football is one part of your life. You still have another part.
Did you have a lot of concussions?
Well, you know, it's the concussions. Some of them you can recall, but mostly you can't recall concussions.
Yeah, because you mean like they weren't diagnosed as officially
called. Well, you know, today and yesterday was two different ways of declaring concussions.
I see.
So the fact that when you go to a disability doctor and you start and they ask you, okay, we got a three-step program. One is, you know, what's a ding? A ding is, you shake your head a little bit. Two, you see lights. Three, you had a concussion. So now let's declare how many dings you had in practice, how many dings you had in games, how many dings you had in camp. So when you look at that day by day, year by year, and you got to go through all three to declare what you think, you know, as a lineman, you see, and, you know, you're going to have light spurts and things of that nature, you know, that's taking place. But when you look at all that data over 15, 16 years, your chances of having something is pretty, you know, close to having
Richard,
something.
Richard, let's take the other side just for a minute. I mean,
what's the other side?
You know that when you get into football, this is
right.
possibly
this is
even
true.
Likely to happen. You
right.
don't have to do it. You know when you're
right.
in a locker room or on the bus and there are drugs passed out, you don't have to take them.
No, right, right.
So do you, how much of a responsibility do the players have to bear for being in such bad shape after a season?
Well, it's two responsibilities there,
is it
Walter.
Worth it? Huh?
You know, one responsibility is, you know, what can I do today to make it better for my kid tomorrow, or your kid, or your nephew, or somebody that might want to play the game. You know, the league has been going a certain way in this direction, and this is where change needs to take place. You see, so I have a son that's 6 and a son that's 9 that want to play, and their father is in a position to make a difference and make a change.
Ditka said he wouldn't let his kids play football. He said that he thinks the risk is worse than the reward. Do you?
It's you know, to me, I love the game, you know, and I think what we are asking for here is that, you know, after a guy play for so long, okay, I played here 11 years. I didn't have the right to go anywhere else to play. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Bears own me.
Mm-hmm.
It's damn near like slavery is what we're talking about. I did not have the right to go somewhere else to play. So you own my rights, right?
Right.
You was with me when you was paying, when you was passing those pills. You was with me in everything that what we do. So now when it's all over and done, and now we're moving on with our lives, you still have to be there because that wear and tear took place there. It's not about just the money and what you did and what you accomplished that short period of time. Because mm-hmm. sports is a very short period of time. But I have the right to live and to be able to, you know, employ myself and go somewhere else.
Well, the game, as I'm sure you're the first to say, the game gave you a lot of opportunity, set you up for what you're doing now, but there's some responsibility there, obviously. Let me take a break here, and then we'll come back more with Surratt, Merciano, Jacobson, and Dent. It's a terrific law firm, if nothing else. But first... Continuing with Walter Jacobson and our special guest Richard Dent, who along with Jim McMahon and Keith Van Horn are part of a group of former players accusing the league in a lawsuit of supplying them with strong painkillers and other drugs that allowed them to play but ultimately negatively affected their lives. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages on behalf of more than 500 former players. Richard, I don't want to jeopardize the suit, but you certainly seem pretty sharp to me, so... I hope you stay in good health.
Well, that's mentally, but, you know, again, I'm trying to keep my weight down because if my weight go down, then, you know, I found out that I got an enlarged heart, you know.
And you're still relatively young man. How old are you now?
I'm 54.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, it's what you see outside, you don't know what's going on inside.
Of course.
So, you never know a person's situation. This is not about guys that, you know, if you never take anything, God bless you. But the part that's important here, somebody has to be responsible. We had 122 guys die last year.
Yeah, 122
guys. Yeah. When that many people die, people kind of stop and say, "Hey, what's really going on?"
Well, I mean,
now,
you know,
you got guys of different ages, old, young. You know, you have it all different areas. And death is something that comes along with it. Go ahead.
I mean, did they die of something like? All different causes or
well, it's
related
all different kind of causes. Some of age, some of age. But the point of it is the biggest thing that hurt guys is sleep apnea at the end of the day. You know, painkillers, what it does is swells up the inside of your body. And what you can't do is breathe. And the first thing, that's the first thing happened. Either you have a heart attack or you stop breathing, you know, 5-10 times a night. And maybe you stop for, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute. You know, so the key is now you got to sleep with these masks, so yet oxygen can be pushed down your throat.
And then you have the tragedy of guys like Dave Duerson.
Now,
of course.
You got guys that you know, got pain, got issues that, you know, can't recall this and that. You know, like I say, I feel some things. I don't know what the future entails, but I know that, you know, this didn't just happen on my dime. You know, it was someone else that I was working with.
Gotcha.
That provided for me because it was nowhere else for me to get it. And it took a while for me to understand after I was finished, my body is craving for something. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know. A game is over. Mm-hmm. My mind is somewhere else, mm-hmm. but my body's still asking for something.
As long as you mention the future, we can't let you out of here without talking about the Bears' future, the new mm-hmm. coach. Do you know Fox? Do you think Fox is the right choice?
Go ahead. Yeah,
I think it's
a good step in the right direction without a doubt. You know, listen to him talk and like he said, let's get to the basics. The game is simple. It's running, blocking, and tackling. Okay? That is the basic part of the game. Now obviously you can't hit people in some ways and you got all these different ways of I gotta catch it, I gotta hold it. And if I hit you on the ground, the ball come loose, it's not a catch. Well, to me, it's the same thing. If I hand it off to you and I hit you and I throw you to the ground and the ball come up, And that should be a fun one. If you can't come up with it, then you don't have the right to hold it. But it's so many different rules. But I think that, you know, it was a treacherous season last year. I thought the Bears should be like at least one or two in the NFC. But for whatever reason, you know, the guys didn't stand up and be responsible for their own job. You know, it's more, that's more than anything. Footage has been put out there where those other 32 teams can see what you do.
That's a suggestion that Cutler wasn't up to it. And you think Cutler probably is not the guy who ought to quarterback the Bears?
Well, Cutler, you know, I hear a lot. I mean, I hear a lot of things about him that, you know, it's just even with their own teammates of being asking for autographs and having issues with getting autographs from your own teammate. You know, that's, you know, it's, you know, body language generally tells a story. You know, I mean, you can't be so cold where body language, you don't even use body language. Body language tells you what you're thinking inside.
How about him as a passer?
As a passer, I think he's a good passer, but I just don't see fundamentals stepping off his right foot, throwing the ball. You know, you see him get in a shotgun, and I don't really scout him, but I see enough. You know, I mean, I'm a premium skybox holder for the Bears. I spend money over there with them. And but I just don't see when he goes shotgun, if he go audible, it seems like he forget his footwork and he throws the ball going across his body. He's good going to the left when you like that. But when you got to go to the right, passes are everywhere, you know.
Richard, could I get you on my touch football team next fall?
Wow.
You can play quarterback if you like.
Oh, yeah, it's touch,
and,
maybe.
And real quick.
I do have a good arm.
I'm sure you do.
Are you going to say yes or no to your sons playing football?
You know, I do drills with my sons every Saturday. I teach them to think slowly but move fast. So once a kid understands his agility, then his mind can declare what he needs to do. It's still out there for me right now.
Richard Dent, he probably was the most fearsome player on that great Bears defense, the 85 Super Bowl champions. And this has struck me every time I've run into Richard over the years. On a football field, if I got the ball and he's running after me, I'm calling my mama. You know what I mean? Because this, I don't want him touching me. But every encounter I've had with Richard Dent over the years, people say, well, what's he like? And they always say, well, he's cuddly, he's friendly. But you know, on the field, you're a monster. Yes, Sunday. Stay away from him on Sundays.
This is true.
Thanks for coming in, Richard.
Thank you,
Walter. Thanks for working out with Richard Dent and bringing your little friend in today.
Yeah, hey, I'm gonna make him strong one day.
Let us know how that goes. So much for Richard Dent, and now let's beef up. Let's eat a little bit.
I love that guy, and he walked right in past our showcase studio and blew us a kiss.
He's even walking faster. The thing about him was super fast. He could really move despite his enormous size. Kevin Pang is with us now, the cheap eater from the Chicago Tribune. I don't know who writes the headlines for your pieces.
It's a great headline.
Section. Poultry slam.
I have to give credit to my my colleague Steve Johnson, who is on the A&E entertainment team, who came up with that headline. Mine were really awful, and he said, poultry slam. And I said, boom, that's it. That's our headline.
Yeah.
Love that.
And this is all about a taste test with chicken. Was it roast chicken only?
Yes. So I figure that roast chicken, it's one of those dishes that, you know, it's, we're in the heart of winter. It's very warming dish. It seems perfect to go around and just try a bunch of roast chicken. And more to the point, roast chickens is one of those dishes where if you want to figure out the ability of a chef, you ask them to roast a chicken, because that determines a lot about their skills, about their technique, if you ask them to roast the chicken. It's one of those things that looks very simple, but it's very hard to master.
And what you reviewed, though, roasted chicken, grilled chicken, and rotisserie chicken, correct?
Yes. So when I say roast chicken, what I really mean is chicken that's not fried. And, you know, it's one of the, I sort of divide it up into, you know, three subcategories. Roast chickens are the ones that are cooked in the oven. And when you roast a chicken that way, it's sort of because it's unlike a rotisserie chicken, because when it's a rotisserie, it's spinning around and all the juices and fat is sort of dripping on the skin. A roasted chicken tends to produce a crispier skin versus a grilled chicken, which you actually finish off on a grill, on a charcoal grill. You get those really nice charred grilled marks on them. It tastes like, you know, it tastes kind of charcoaly, really good.
Now, are you talking about the chickens that are very convenient and people go to a grocery store?
Yes, those too.
Buy? I mean,
In the last 15, 20 years, it's gotten exceedingly popular where you go to a supermarket, you know, after work, you feel tired, you don't want to cook, you go to a Jewel, you go to Whole Foods, and you buy a whole chicken and you bring it home and you can just have very easy dinner. What I'm trying to do is to say that, hey, there are plenty of places that are restaurants that are non-supermarkets that will do a really, really excellent version of roast chicken. And so in today's Chicago Tribune, you can also go online to our website, chicagotribune.com/dining. We picked 6 chickens. I ate something like 16 or 17 different roast chickens. It was really, it was not fun.
Did you just taste them, or did you eat the entire roast chicken?
Oh, I did not eat the entire one. I tasted it, and then in many cases, I either took it home or I gave it to some homeless guy on the street who could.
Kevin stopped if he could. Okay, so 6. These are the 6 best in the Chicago area, Chicago and the suburbs. And we should say, though, that Kevin has said previously that he loves the chicken at Jewel.
I like the fried chicken at Jewel.
The fried chicken at Jewel.
The rotisserie chicken, not so much. I've actually had it during this experiment. I have to say that is not included in this roundup. The Costco roast chicken is really good. It's $4.99. It's gigantic, and you can feed maybe like 4 or 5 people with it. It's a really good deal.
What are these chickens made with? I mean, like, the reason I don't buy them usually is because I believe that they probably have some sauce on them that has ingredients I don't want or something like that. Did you check on that?
Yeah, I mean, so, for example, it can be as simple as just salt, pepper, and olive oil. And it could be
that would be good with
that'd
me.
Be very, very simple. Or if you go to a place, which I'll mention and we'll talk about this later, one of our 6 places, the Peruvian style of roast chicken called pollo a la brasa, they used, including in the marinade, beer, Coca-Cola, they use like garlic puree, cumin, lime juice, tons
beer
of different stuff.
Beer and Coca-Cola?
Oh, yeah. So there's lots of different versions of it. But just to make clear, in the story today, we picked ones that are as cheap as $8.55 for an entire chicken to something that is $39. They're all good, so we picked 3 that are fairly cheap and 3 that are pretty expensive, but all we think are delicious.
And many will get, it's no longer the Good Housekeeping seal. If they are in healthy juices, it'll be the Marianne Murciano seal of approval.
Okay.
All right, let's start. Are these in any particular order,
these
6?
Let's start from the one of my favorites and the cheapest one. It's called Hickory Roasters, and this is in Rolling Meadows. It's been there for 23 years this year. And the thing, when you walk inside this place, is you see the rotisserie that is spinning. And one thing I should mention,
is it takeout, or
you can eat in there as
okay.
well. So I should mention, you know, we talked about roasted and grilled chicken. This style is rotisserie chicken, and the benefit of rotisserie chicken is because it is spinning and it's going around in circles like a Ferris wheel almost, right?
But I always feel like the rotisserie chickens are going to be more dry because
they tend to be a bit juicier because the juices and the fat is dripping on top of each other, and because it's rotating, it's basically basting itself. And so if you overcook it, then yes, it could be dry. But for the most part, rotisserie chickens, if you cook it just right, it will be usually a lot juicier. But talking about Hickory Roasters, this is a rotisserie chicken. And the first thing you see when you walk inside is you see all these wood logs that are hanging out in front of the rotisserie. They've got what sort of wood? I'm trying to think what I think hickory and oak logs that are sort of stacked on top of there. And it's a really, really terrific chicken, really juicy, very intensely savory. There's a bit of a lemon pepper seasoning on top of there, too. And the best part about this is it's $8.55. It's the cheapest chicken that we found and that's wood roasted. You can go to like a Jewel and a Whole Foods and you can get some a whole chicken that is comparably priced, but I think if you're in Rolling Meadows, you should check out Hickory Roasters, and that is at 5440 North Wilkie Road in Rolling Meadows. Hickory Roasters, terrific place.
We'll work our way up the price point here now. The next one isn't much more expensive, $8.99. Tell us about Nicky's.
Well, this one is $8.99. However, it is a half chicken.
I see.
But the good part is it also comes with fries, Greek salad, and really good garlic bread as well. This place is called Nicky's The Real McCoy. It's on the southwest side. There's a location in Alsip, in Cicero, and Gage Park as well. Nicky's is really famous. In the southwest side, there's a variant of the cheeseburger called the Big Baby. And it's basically a double cheeseburger with cheese in the middle, mustard, and a tangle of onions. It's really sort of famous on the southwest side called the Big Baby. However, when I went to this place, the chicken here, they grill it, and so you get that really nice charcoal taste to it. But my favorite part of it is the lemon garlic sauce. It's very buttery, and it is drenched in this lemon sauce. And so when you eat this grilled chicken, you're basically dipping this into this very buttery lemon sauce. And, I mean, I don't know how you can it's sort of like having shrimp scampi, you know, when you dip the shrimp into the lemon garlic butter. But this is just that way with grilled chicken.
So it's really Greek style, and you said it comes with a Greek salad, but obviously this recipe must come from a Greek family.
And so the marinade or the seasoning on that is black pepper, Greek oregano. So you know, you get that very, you know, when we taste it, you automatically think, ah, this is Greek, you mm-hmm. know, Greek chicken. But again, it's that lemon, that buttery lemon sauce that is drenched with the chicken, and it's just really, really terrific.
Next on your list, this place has been a favorite of mine for years, the Athenian Room on West Webster. And I have had the chicken there, although I must say that the gyros is my favorite at the Athenian Room.
We have great gyros there, but, you know, a couple of years ago, Tina Fey from 30 Rock and Saturday Night Live, she did this video Q&A, and people were asking her what's a good place to eat in Chicago, and she singled out the Athenian Room and said you got to get the chicken kalamata at the Athenian Room. I had it. It's really terrific. The thing about this is it's roasted, so the skin is super, super, super crispy. It almost crackles underneath your skin. The skin actually crackles. And just like at Nicky's The Real McCoy, the thing at Athenian Room is they've got this lemon olive oil sauce.
That's the best part.
It's really the best
it's
part.
It's so good.
And the French fries, which they serve, which is really thick, also with oregano and spicing on there. It is actually sitting in, or it's waiting in the lemon olive oil sauce. So you get that crunchiness that is soaking in all that lemon olive oil with the chicken. I mean, I'm hungry just talking about
the
this
Greek,
right now,
The Greek fries are great. The place has been there like 43 years, and some of us used to call it by something else. It's next to Nick's, next to the bar there. It's connected.
Yeah.
The Athenian Room or Alexandros's. I don't know why it had that name, too, but I think it's the same couple I've seen in there for many, many years.
They've been in the
wonderful spot.
Such a great
They've been
place.
At the same location at Webster and Halsted for since 1972. So it's a really classic, really great. And really inexpensive, too. You get a half chicken for $11, and it comes with salad, fries, bread and butter. Really
Can't
good
beat
deal.
That right in Lincoln Park. Let's take a break, and then more chicken more often on WGN. The cheap eater from the Trib, Kevin Pang, and we'll continue with three more on the list of the best chicken in the Chicago and suburban area right after this. Talking food with the Tribune's cheap eater, Kevin Pang, and we have three more great chicken places to talk about on the list today. And, well, here's a place right down the street on Michigan Avenue.
A bit more on the pricier side, but, you know, it's not as, if you think of it as just roast chicken and this costing $20 or more, yes, it can be pricey, but it's sort of like going to a nice steak and having a chef prepare a really good version of it. But this version, right up, as you said, up the street from us here at the Tribune, Bandera, you know, I've always loved their roast chickens. In fact, I think the first day I worked here, I went to Bandera and I had the roast chicken. I thought I would be eating at this place every single day.
I don't know what it is that they also have another version of the chicken that is, I think, fried. But the Banderas chicken, it's unbelievable. It's,
if you walk inside, you see like the actual spinning rotisseries. And this one is a rotisserie version. What I like about this is there's a two-day marinade. It's almost like a mojo marinade. So there's garlic, orange juice. It's super moist, super juicy. The skin's not very crispy, but it doesn't need to be. It's very intensely flavorful, and it's got an apricot glaze on top of it too. And
oh, so that's the secret ingredient.
That is a secret, and they serve it with it changes from time to time. At one point they had like a Mexican style lime rice. Now they have this Mediterranean tabbouleh salad, and so it's $19 for lunch and $23 for dinner. It's a half chicken. It's a meal in of itself. Bandera. It's a really terrific version.
Talk about this Peruvian restaurant, because I keep hearing about this. You've got it on your list for a great chicken.
That's right. Tanta is from a very, very famous Peruvian chef named Gaston Acurio, and he's been he's really regarded as one of the best chefs in the world. And he opened up this outpost of his restaurant called Tanta in Chicago. It's on Grand Avenue, and they do this rotisserie chicken. It's $36 for the whole chicken, $23 for a half. I would actually suggest you get the whole chicken. I think it's a better deal. Now, before you think $36 for a whole chicken, it also comes with beans. It comes with these potato wedges, a salad, and it's also got three different dipping sauces, which I think is the best part of it. This is the one version I was telling you about the Peruvian pollo a la brasa, where they soak it and marinate it with beer, Coca-Cola, soy sauce, lime juice, cumin, garlic puree, chili paste, just tons of stuff is going on. So it's a very complex, savory roast chicken. And then talking about the sauces, too, they've got this one really, really terrific dipping sauce, which is a yellow pepper called ají amarillo that is thickened with cheese, if you believe that, evaporated milk, and soda crackers.
You mean ajo amarillo.
Ajo, okay.
I think.
You probably are much versed in this than I am.
Whatever it is, it sounds fantastic.
It's really, really terrific. It's roast chicken. It's probably one of the more unique interpretations of roast chicken in the city, but it's the rotisserie chicken at Tanta, and that is at 118 West Grand Avenue in River North. Really terrific place.
Finally, we have River Roast. Now, would you say this is the Mercedes of chickens?
I can say that. This is from... So the pedigree behind this chicken is very impressive. Tony Montuano from Spiaggia. That restaurant's been around for 30 years. And also John Hogan, he used to be the chef at Kiefer's. They decided to collaborate and open up this restaurant called River Roast. And what they do is they specialize in roast meats. There's roast beef there, there's ribs, chicken, and very impressive roast fish that you can see. They'll serve whole. But the roast chicken has been their best seller. And before I tell you, it's $39. Now, you might think, wow, $39, that's a lot for chicken. However, it's really for two people. And if you think of going to a restaurant and you're paying $20 an entree, it's a fairly good price for it. But it's a really terrific chicken where they, what they do is they cold smoke the chicken with apple wood. And what that does is it makes the skin super, super crispy. I mean, like crunchy crispy. And then they cook it in the oven, and they also serve it on top of the really crispy potatoes. So all the juices sort of flow right onto the potatoes. But think of it as you said, the Mercedes-Benz of chickens, super crispy. And that is River Roast, 315 North LaSalle Street.
Okay. I have two things to say. One is that it is ají amarillo.
I think that's what
because
I said.
Ají
amarillo,
yeah,
right.
Ají, but because pepper is ají, ajo is garlic.
Ah.
I thought you were saying garlic. And
no,
then,
it's the yellow peppers.
It's the yellow peppers, yeah.
Right.
And then the second thing is that somebody wrote in and said, have you tasted the Costco chicken, the rotisserie chicken for $4.99? Which is, they said, amazing.
We just spoke about that in the first segment. I said the $4.99 Costco chicken is a great deal.
Okay, great.
I have one.
Sorry,
thing.
I missed that. I thought you started at $8.55.
Before we even got into that, I thought that's a really great takeout chicken. It's a very underrated chicken, I thought.
It is? Okay, great.
And I have one thing to say.
Yes.
I need some chicken.
I know.
Thank you. Kevin Pang, Cheap Eater Tribune. Talk to you next week.
See ya.
Marianne's Celebrity Report to the Nation is on the air.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. It is the Celebrity Report, sponsored by Hollywood Casino. Aurora and Joliet. Let me ask you something, Marianne, as you sit there behind your anchor desk in the Celebrity Report to the Nation newsroom with your blazer with the logo on the pocket from the Hollywood Casino Aurora and Joliet, and it says that on the desk, and then there's a sign behind you also for the casino. Do you think that compromises your journalistic integrity in any way to have those sponsor identifications all over the place as you deliver the celebrity news?
Of course not.
Well, okay. I was just checking.
No.
Because it's kind of a throwback to when John Cameron Swayze did the Camel Caravan. But I was just curious about that. Also, do you think the Hollywood Casino, Aurora and Joliet, do they have any idea what this feature is all about? You think they've heard it?
I'm sure they know. Yeah. Okay. They chose it. They chose
okay.
it. They,
I'm glad. Don't get me wrong.
They didn't decide to sponsor the bait click segment.
Yes, wisely.
Yeah. They decided to sponsor the celebrity news. So
right,
here we go.
Let's have it.
We start off with a little bit of funny sound from Jay Leno talking about the Bill Cosby allegations during an interview with NAPBE, which is the National Association of Television Program Executives, and he was there in Miami, and this is what he said.
I mean, I don't know why it's so hard to believe women. I mean, you know, you go to Saudi Arabia and you need two women to testify against a man. Here you need 25.
Yeah, good point, but I'll
very
tell you something.
Point.
I'm sure Jay Leno was thinking about his wife, Mavis, when he was asked about the Cosby situation, because Mavis has been a longtime advocate for women's rights here and around the world. So Jay Leno has been trained properly, you can be sure.
Yeah, and I'm not so sure that he needed training. Come on. You need training to.
Well, I'm just saying he's been married to this woman for many years who has been at the forefront of women's rights battles. And so he knows about that. And no surprise to me that he answered that question about Cosby that way.
As we all should know. All right. Now we can. Did you by any chance hear about this clip on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart and Anne Hathaway?
No, I didn't.
All right, it's hilarious. We're going to play it, but we're also going to post it because you actually have to see this. She was on The Daily Show, and they're talking about her latest film, which is called Song One. And she starts and finishes describing the plot of her latest film before this happens. So take a listen.
She became an adult very quickly, very young, and so she never kind of explored any part of her artistic side. And then her little brother, who's 19, calls her up and says, I'm dropping out of college to become a musician, and she doesn't react very well, and they hadn't spoken for 6 months, and then he gets hit by a car and is in a coma.
So that's the movie, basically? That's it? That's her current movie?
That's basically the movie.
That is my Facebook update.
Oh, okay, all right, we get it.
And
they're
laughing
in a nutshell.
So hard for 1 minute, and it ends with John saying, well, I've seen the movie, and that was, I still think that was a spoiler. It's hilarious. We'll post it. Kevin Costner is making a new movie, and he is hoping that it redefines how people think about race. It's called Black or White, and it's actually this was in the works way before our latest displays of racial tension in this country. He says, Kevin Costner says, the film wasn't timed for any of these things. It was made before some of these seminal moments that have seemed to have caught our attention, but I have been very aware of race for a long time, and I never saw a movie that dealt with it the way this did, and the hope is that it gets under your fingernails. So basically, he stars in the film, and he is a grandfather who has raised his granddaughter along with his wife after their daughter died at childbirth. And the film begins with an additional loss when Costner's wife dies in a car accident. He is left to raise this granddaughter alone, and a family custody battle erupts when the granddaughter's black family, who lives in South Los Angeles, petitions to adopt her.
So, I'm still thinking about the plot of the Anne Hathaway movie. Sorry.
All right. Jennifer Garner, I love this. She was getting her makeup done, you know, for some event, and she tells her makeup artist that her days of extreme Hollywood dieting are now over. You know, she's a mom, and she is recalling how she dieted for so long in the middle of doing Alias and being a superhero, and she says, there's something in me that cannot do anything that extreme anymore.
Yeah, she looks pretty good.
She looks great, yeah. And Lady Gaga and Adele, what do you think about that collaboration? They have either become best friends or they are working on a musical venture together. Lady Gaga posted a photo of the two of them on Instagram. And here's the picture, Bob. Look how cute they are. Mm-hmm. That would be an amazing collaboration.
Couple of good voices there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. That's the end of our celebrity report.
That's it? Okay. We will take a quick break, and then we'll open up the Serrat and Murciano mailbox. A lot of feedback to catch up with after this.
Wait, oh yes, wait a minute, Mr. Postman. Wait, wait, hey, 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 Mr. Postman.
Letters, texts, tweets, emails, carrier pigeon messages, the Serrat and Murciano mailbox is on the air. Before we open it up, how come you did not cover Buddy Hackett's 90th birthday in the Celebrity Report? Don't we do a feature called Dead Celebrity Birthdays? Because he's 90 today, Buddy Hackett.
And dead?
Mm-hmm.
We
unfortunately,
we used
yes.
to do a feature. No, we don't do dead people's birthdays, usually. But we did used to do a feature called Dead or Alive.
Where you have to guess.
Where you have to guess mm-hmm. whether that celebrity is dead or alive. And that would have been a good one because I didn't know.
I met Buddy Hackett once at the old Purple Hotel up there in Lincolnwood. He was appearing, I think it was part of some sort of collector's convention, and he was signing autographs. And so I remember interviewing him afterwards. And he was very nice, except he was wearing gloves because he was phobic about germs. And so when he shook hands with people, you would shake hands with a gloved hand. And we didn't talk about that. I do remember him telling me he had just been on the Letterman show, and he was talking about how strange David is.
Oh, and then the glove thing, that's something you could walk around with is gloves.
Me?
Yeah.
You mean instead of Purell?
Instead of Purell, just gloves.
Yeah, but then I would have to get some latex gloves that disposable because I'd have to throw them away every time I shook hands with someone,
of
right?
Of course, disposable.
Yeah. Or not. Maybe that would be okay. I would just take them off when done shaking hands with people. Okay, let's open up the mailbox.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Let's get to some texts. 219, Marianne, OMGGGGG. The past 10 days have been heaven regarding the weather. I am a dog walker at a shelter 25 hours a week, and I am in the elements daily. So mm-hmm. don't criticize the temps
yes.
lately.
Right,
love
it's fantastic for January. I mean, for the, what is this, the 22nd? It's usually freezing right now.
All right, we were talking to Kevin Pang about roasted chicken, rotisserie mm-hmm. chicken, et cetera. And 773 says, if you go to Banderas right here on Michigan Avenue, you have to get the peanut coleslaw. I know it sounds weird, but it's delicious.
I think I've had that.
You have?
It's good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. 312 says, my husband and I went to Gaston Acurio's restaurant in Lima on our honeymoon in 2008, and we were so excited when he opened up Tanta. It's outstanding. I really want to go there,
That's
too.
That's the Peruvian place.
Yeah. And then we had David Hochberg on the show, and as usual, he, you know, so many people write in and call when he's here. He's the mortgage guy who knows everything about refinancing. 630 says, David is awesome. He just helped my mom with a reverse mortgage. He is honest and says it like it is.
Good to know.
Yeah. And Oh, can you text me the contact number of the gentleman who was here earlier talking about refinancing? Okay, that's David Hochberg. 312 is his phone number, 896-2111. And then we had somebody talking about turning around and fixing companies.
Mm-hmm.
847 says, these turnarounds rarely instill passion in the rank and file. They instill fear because the number one action is to fix the balance sheet by reducing headcount.
Yeah, that's true, I think, in many cases.
And about you being a weatherman or me being a weather person,
yeah.
630 says, I won't watch a curmudgeon weatherman. And I will watch Marianne in a bathing suit.
Yeah.
That is not going to happen.
Yeah, that would be great. Come on.
Thank you for the compliment.
In the winter, you could wear a fur coat over your bathing suit, but leave it, like, open.
Why
so
don't I wear,
as you walk around, it kind of flies open once in a while.
Yeah, or I could wear a fur bikini like Kim Kardashian.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Yeah.
Now you tell me that's not going to juice up the ratings of any television station.
Yeah, for the one day.
That's the whole thing behind the Fox News Channel, if you think about it. The babes. You know, they hire...
Let's hire a babe.
They've got one on in the daytime, and I think her background was, she was like, I don't know, it was judo or taekwondo or something. She was an instructor of some sort. And, you know, Roger Ailes is no dummy. He hired her because she looked great.
This is a very funny text. 630, Bob, you're a lucky man. I just saw a picture of Marianne. What a stunning lady. I have a hot wife myself, and I'm a dirtbag. Dirty, dirty, filthy Chicago artist. I don't make any money. Every day I wake up and I wonder why she hasn't left me yet. 13 years of marriage. She's a warrior. And then I realize I let her believe I'm always wrong. 80% of the time she's correct. I'm sure I will have a stroke sooner than later.
Well, that's good advice for me, though. I think.
And then he said something else.
I mean, I do appreciate you, but I have to be more content being wrong, or allowing you to think I'm wrong or saying I'm wrong. Why not?
He ends it with saying something that I don't know. I don't want to read it because I'm not sure if it's a dirty thing or not. It might be. So I'll show it to you later. And 815 says, just curious, Marianne, what did you and Bob have in common that led to marriage?
That's a question we ask often around here. I think opposites attract, or at least also, fill you out and complete you.
Yeah, and also, by the way, we get it all out here.
Yes,
this
we
is
do.
It. And then
yeah.
When we go home,
this
what
is
happens,
our therapy.
Bob?
I go to my room and you go to yours.
We argue.
Let me see that thing you can't read.
Over.
Can I see that? It was a text?
Right here.
Or an email.
Right,
text.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I don't know. I think it went over my head.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah, I guess. I don't know. It's too sophisticated for me. Thanks to Carol for scanning this cartoon and emailing it to us. People are still talking about hoarding. We were talking about being disorganized here
the
other day.
Yeah, that's what we do when we get home. We talk about hoarding. We hoard.
This cartoon is very funny. There's a guy at a typewriter in the middle of a room and just a complete mess, just junk everywhere, papers covering his desk completely. He's got like a clothesline in the room with papers hanging from the clothesline, and his wife or partner is in the doorway holding a telephone, and she says, did you send your editor the final pages of Organizing Your Life? Get it? That's pretty good, huh?
I get it.
And a nice email. I don't know if this is the same Carol who mentions that she's longtime friends with our cruise buddies, Judy and Mary. They went to high school together.
Oh.
They continue to rave about the cruise they took with us.
I love
and that's
them.
Nice to know. And we have to go on another one, don't we?
We're going to go on another cruise. And you guys, get ready
to listen up.
Stay tuned. It's going to be maybe it'll be at the end of September. We're working on it right now.
And will it be the Chicago River or somewhere more exotic?
It's going to be somewhere more exotic.
All right, that's good to know. Not that there's anything wrong with the river. Bill and Wendy are coming on after this.
Here's the train.
And there we go till tomorrow at noon. Thanks for being with us.